I think of drugs as being one, which is a big issue right now. Penalties for selling drugs, using drugs, or as a user, as a death result. In the past, they were sent to federal prisons that did not have a death penalty. And you know, given 40 years. In this instance, that's the overriding thought behind what Congress is trying to do there. And we did bring out those statistics as to how many Indians would be fall under that if they did go into court. What was the other thing that you
pointed out? Oh, on the game code?
Yeah.
The difference between the game code and this code is that the game violations are considered criminal violations. And we don't have any criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians. In the United States Supreme Court, in a case called Oliver, decided that Indian tribes, we have civil jurisdiction over everybody, and we have criminal jurisdiction just over Indians. We don't have any criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians. So these cases, they like look at GX and Lander or some of these other, you know, non-Indian courts, and they don't really match up our law. That's why they just sometimes get a slap on the wrist and go to Lander. But on that, see, this water code isn't a criminal. It's not going to be a criminal violation, it's going to be a civil. So we've got jurisdiction over non-Indians under civil jurisdiction, but we don't have criminal jurisdiction over non-Indians. So that's going to be the difference there.
I still never seen that.
Yeah, we've got it already.
Because everything we've always done is always just to tie ourselves up and never allowed to.
Well, you see, if that wasn't true, then we couldn't be introducing non-Indians, because that also falls into the civil court. But that's now allowed for under BIA DC laws. And we do lease to non-Indians. We're talking here civil, but you're talking game code violations, criminal. That's the problem.
On tax law, we've already taken Amoco and some of these oil companies into the tribal court. And we've got judgments against them for hundreds of thousands of dollars because that's tax is a civil matter, and we've got strictly civil jurisdiction on non-Indians. And this water bill would be a civil matter. So we've already been banning up our tax code through our tribal court because it's a civil matter. We have civil jurisdiction. This is a civil, not a criminal code. It's part of the civil.
And like everything, it's a new day, and we've got a lot of work to do. And if we can gear ourselves up to manage this, I think we are up for the task. Yeah, it's going to take some work to get there, but I think we can. Okay, to finish up very briefly, private ditches. We're suggesting that all private ditches be served from direct flow of the respective stream, and if you want to draw water from storage on a private ditch, that you basically make a contract with whoever is operating the storage facility. Again, you can change this if you want. It's really just trying to get some order into private ditches. Again, private ditches are covered like everybody else, only the quantity of water to which they're entitled, but they also have access to surplus water and will be cut down in drought conditions just like everyone else. Again, during surplus conditions, water users on private ditches may divert additional amounts as authorized by the tribal water engineer. Wyoming's law is you can take up to twice your allocation, like 2 CFS to 70. Sometimes that doesn't work on different aspects of reservation land. What we're saying is we want to set it for each area, so you make sure you get your correct surplus water. And this most always will mean getting more and not less. Again, some other drought aspects, on cutting back. Okay, procedures and decisions during drought. Simply stated, we have to anticipate that. You know that, you live with it. We're not at the point where we can predict exactly when the drought year is going to come. We can sure as heck kind of suggest some things by February or March. In any case, item one just says these are the beneficial uses. If you've got to cut back, these are the uses that come first. Obviously, we need drinking water. Item two, if it looks like it's an extended period of drought, that's when your technical person kicks into gear and starts thinking about other ways to protect tribal water rights, get tribal water rights. So basically, you're thinking of this years in advance, so you're taking care of when a drought comes. You don't have to scramble around when a drought comes. Item three, basically, is to establish a fund, and hopefully we keep this fund revolving every year. And that is basically to take care of people during emergencies. You know, there's different kinds of insurance available through ASCS and whatnot for drought insurance, et cetera. This is also kind of what we're talking about here. It's a little bit of drought insurance for the tribes. Occasionally emergencies happen, tanker goes over, drops some stuff in the river, something blows up, etc. Basically, we're just saying here that, your technical staff and your board can act on these things immediately, shall have the authority to contact emergency agencies, etc. I can think of a lot of cases in point, as I said, a tanker spilling, Washakie Dam, breakage there, things like that. Okay, finally, the last chapter is miscellaneous provisions. This chapter will probably get a lot larger as we develop more details and whatnot. Basically, first of all, if you're going to do water management, you must provide a budget for that every year, and we're just saying that this has to happen. If you're going to go for it, let's go for it. Provide the funds so we can administer. Basically, item B says that general councils of both tribes waive sovereign immunity from suit, which may adhere to the benefit of the board, the commission, and the tribal water engineer, provided that any suit has to be brought in the Wind River Tribal Court, and further provided that any such waiver is limited only to the extent necessary, in case the board violates something, to have the board then adjudicating, enforcing parties' rights, or whatnot. In other words, it does not allow anybody to sue the commission or the joint business council or anything for monetary damages. Okay, item C, you have to exhaust your remedies. You have to follow all procedures before you can bring an action against the board. Item D, this basically says before any regulations are the board adopts that have to be noticed, publicized, etc. The board should hold a public hearing on new regulations, etc. Then again, we have the New York Times there, etc. It's going to be advertised. And my goodness, we've made all the way through these 33 pages. This is a very elementary beginning framework. It's very much proposed. We've gone through this in detail because you've got to see what the code is about. But basically, the main point and the main thrust of this code is to not only protect your rights, but protect your access to water, protect your right to develop water, to develop land, continue to improve your lifestyle, etc. Without a code, what do we have? We have potential creeping state jurisdiction. We sure as heck will have some problems next year. Midvale people, Indians within the Midvale Project, will hardly be able to have any control, really. We would not be able to really dedicate in-stream flows without a whole lot of hassle. Basically, without some kind of law in place, it opens up all these holes for the state to take jabs at you here and there. You can't do this, you can't do this. We don't know if we're going to let you develop your future water, etc. Maybe that's an unrealistic scenario, but I think you've got to realize the state's right there at the door, and they're waiting. We look forward to more meetings and whatnot on this. Again, you're always welcome to come down to our offices and talk about the code and whatnot. More than willing to talk at any time about this. There's another meeting tomorrow night in Fort Washakie. If you want to go over more details and whatnot. And as Wes was mentioning, there's a meeting on Saturday. Again, there will be more hearings on this, and all of you are encouraged to really make this work for you. Somebody had to take the bullet, bite the bullet, and draft the code, which is what the commission did. Now it's up to you to tailor it to your specific needs and to make it work for you. But I thank you very much for your attention. Are there any questions or comments? Now that we've completed the introduction to the session, now we can really start the session. We've got to finish by 3 in the morning. Thank you very much.